If we could stand. If you guys weren't up here for the first service, Brother Tom spoke a very strong word to all of us. The music this morning was all about glory. We're continuing that same theme of giving God the praise and glory as we go through our service. I don't know about you, there's a lot of times where you just don't feel like you're in the right spot to be praising God. You're like, everything's going wrong. I'm having a bad day at work. Nothing's working. Financials aren't right. Everything is just coming against you. And you feel like, I'm just at a point where I don't know what to do. That's when we have to turn and actually give God glory, even stronger than when everything's going good. It's easy to say, it's sunny outside, it's a beautiful day, everything's going how we're supposed to, give God glory.
Right.
But on the day that you just lost your car, or your house isn't going the right way, or your job isn't the right situation, that's when we need to give God glory again.
Right.
So for this service, if we could just start out, usher God's presence in this place. When we have 2 to 3 gathered in his name, he's here. So let's just speak unto God and say, Jesus, move into this place today. Worship with us as we sing.
We've waited for this day. We're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our place. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our prayer. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part, flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Would you lift up a shout of praise to the Lord? Jesus, you are worthy. Show us your glory today, Jesus.
Because the church is praying. His name is being lifted up. And there's a move of God that is indescribable. And there's like a flow. There's like a river that is flowing in front of this altar right now. And it's been flowing from the first hour. And I invite every one of you, you do not have to wait to the end of this service to tap into the vein, to tap into the flow, what God is desiring for you to step into at this very moment. So if you want to experience what God is doing and where He is moving, I'm going to encourage you right now to take a moment to step out in faith, to have a bold step of faith and move forward. And if you need prayer, you have an opportunity to be prayed for, because this church is praying and God is listening, because He is evident and He is here and He is moving. He is not a God that's just listening, sitting down. He is a God that is listening, standing and poised and moving back and forth. He's been moving back and forth this whole time, ever since the first hour, before the first hour. He was ready and prepared for this day for you right now. So I encourage you, in this moment, don't wait and don't miss an opportunity to step out and step into the flow, into the river of life freely that He has for you right now, in Jesus' name.
Singing of glory, singing of glory.
Can we
just lift him up right now? Come on, he's in this place. The King of Glory has set foot in this sanctuary. He's here to do whatever you need him to do. He's here to work. He's here to heal. If you need joy, he's here to give you joy. If you need peace, he's the peace speaker. Whatever you need him to be today, he is in this place. He's in this place. There's going to be a day coming very soon. We don't know when, but we are going to enter into the presence of heaven, enter into his presence. And in that place where there's streets of gold, where there's walls of pearls and jaspers, we're going to dance in the presence of the Almighty God. Our earthly body will be cast away, will be made new, a new spiritual body. I know that while we're here on earth, we have ailments, we have issues. I know, Sister Doris, you can't run like you want to. You can't move like you want to. But one day, Sister Doris, God is going to replace this flesh, this corruptible flesh. We're going to put on incorruptibility, and we are going to enter into the presence of the Almighty God, where we will be with him forever, and I cannot wait. I am excited. I am excited. One more time, let's just give him a hand clap of praise. Let's thank him for that promise he's given us today. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We have a few announcements as our ushers could be prepared to take today's tithe and offering. A few announcements. No prayer tonight. We will be encouraging those that are able to attend a community Thanksgiving service hosted by the Federated Church at 6 p.m. if you're able to make it. They do ask we bring a non-perishable food item as just sort of an entry. They're donating to the Franklin Mall Project, so please, if you're able to do that. If not, you will still be invited in, I'm sure, but they have asked that. We do have peanut brittle for sale after church. They are $6 for two patties or $8 for a 10. See Sister Darlene or Sister Rachel or Sister Connie or Sister somebody. Somebody, if you need peanut brittle, we will get you peanut brittle. Next Tuesday night, November 26th, we will be having our Thanksgiving service. Say Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
If you come here on Wednesday night, you will be all alone. We are not having a Wednesday night service because of the Thanksgiving holiday on Thursday. We want you to spend that time with your family. But it will be Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And we do ask that you come ready to give a testimony of what God has done in 2019. If God's been good to you, we want to know what he's done. We want to hear about it. But we want to hear about it in 1 minute or less. So think about it. Be prepared. We're not going to make anybody testify. But we are overcomers by the word of our testimony. So if you want to be an overcomer, have a testimony. And we also will be taking communion that night to thank God for his sacrifice on the cross. And so we want you to be a part of that. Another announcement, all ladies need to plan to meet Sister Darlene over here. Is that good? Immediately following service to discuss Sister Andrea's to be, Sister Krager to be, her wedding shower. So please meet immediately following service just over there. And then also, if you haven't heard, we are having a children's program, CAKE, on December 7th at 6 p.m. It's Christmas Acts of Kindness. These forms, these handouts are available on the back table. If you haven't already, grab a couple. And here's how easy it is to invite somebody. Hey, Brother Greg, we're having this thing called CAKE. It's December 6th. It's our kids' musical program. It's the 7th. If you come Friday, you can see dress rehearsal. You're going to be there? See, I got one person coming. I've done my job. But make sure you invite somebody. And then we do have, if you haven't already noticed, the nicely decorated shopping cart that is not stolen, that is borrowed. But we're trying to get some non-perishable food items as well for a couple of different projects. If you are able to participate, it's something that our church has done for years, but we want to continue blessing the community during this season. So if you're able to, please, you can bring those at any point, but we need to have them by December 16th, 15th. Was that the the 15th will be the last Sunday we'll be collecting that. So you can bring it now or up until that point. Also, want to say welcome to Sister Jana Sipes, who's here today from Bloomington. She actually reminded me, I was so young I did not remember, but she taught me in Bible class 25 plus years ago. So every good thing that I've said has come from her. Every bad thing that was just me and that had nothing to do with her. But she is going to be moving back to Sandwich, and this is home for her. So make sure you make her feel welcome, hug her, tell her your name, but don't hold her to remembering your name because there's a lot of names to remember. But make her feel welcome today, and it's so good to have you with us. So, Brother Jay, if you would pray over today's tithe and offering.
Oh, hear you breaking chains. I 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 hear you call my name. I'll never be the same. Oh, I hear you call my name. I'll never be the same. Oh, I hear you call my name. I'll never be the same. Oh, I hear you breaking chains. 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 I hear you call my name. I'll never be the same. Oh, I am here for you to worship you. This moment will not pass me by. 'Cause I'm in love with you, in awe of you. I'm giving everything, I'm giving everything away.
As we sing, I am here for you, I believe God is saying back to us, I'm here for you. So you're here for me, I'm here for you, and when those two things get together, that's when the miraculous takes place. When we make up our mind that we're here for Him, God's like, I've been here the whole time waiting upon you. I believe He's here to do whatever we need Him to do in this place. Amen. Amen. I want to turn our attention to the book of Acts, chapter 27. I like to say it, and I probably say it too often, but God will meet you at the point of your need. And that was a saying that one of my former pastors used to say often, and it just stuck with me, that God isn't expecting you to fix your need, to get beyond your need, then He's going to meet you. God is just looking for you to turn to Him. When you turn to Him, then He will meet you there. He's there. He's just waiting upon you to notice Him. The book of Acts, chapter 27, verse 27. You'll probably be familiar once we start reading, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. When they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Last week, we followed along with this particular story. If you were here, we were in Acts 27, and it began with a promise to Paul that he was going to testify of the works of Jesus Christ in Rome. And I didn't get a chance to, but this week I don't like to do part one, part two too often, but I want to finish that story. I actually, Brother Davis was talking to me after church last Sunday. He said, "Oh, you didn't get to this part. You didn't do this." And I said, "I know I didn't get to that part. I wanted to." I said, "But be prepared for next Sunday because there's more that I want to do." So I want to finish this story just to encourage somebody in the Holy Ghost that if God's given you a promise, whatever that promise may be, you might still be in your storm this Sunday. You might still be facing it today. You were facing it last week. You had prayed that by Wednesday you'd be gone, and it isn't, and you're still there. But God, if he gave you a promise, he is going to see it through, and he is going to bring you through whatever you're up against. So I want to speak to us for just a few moments today, and then God is going to touch us. But I want to speak, abide in the ship. Abide in the ship. And as we pray for this service, I forgot to do it just a second ago. Why don't we also lift up our lost loved ones? We always want to do this every service, and I got ahead of myself. So as we pray for what God is going to do with this message, and he's going to touch our hearts, let's pray that God would touch the hearts of our lost loved ones and reach them wherever they're at right now. In Jesus' name. God, I praise you. God, I believe that you're going to work today. God, you're going to do something in the atmosphere today. God, if we will abide with you, if we will dwell with you, then you will be there. Then you will protect us. You will bring us through. God, you are going to do it. You are going to reach to our lost loved ones. God, to every prodigal right now, every child that is away. God, you are drawing them back in the Holy Ghost. God, we still believe that there's a promise that's been given for our children. So we are going to hold on to that. We are going to claim that. We are going to believe that. God, we don't care what the situation looks like. We don't care their attitude right now. We believe that when we pray, when we believe, you listen and you hear and you will work on our behalf. And I believe that you're going to do this today in Jesus' name. Why don't we thank him for that? In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord. We praise you and we will give you the glory for it today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you will allow me, I want to spend just a few minutes, and I'll be brief, but I want to reiterate what has taken place on this journey of Paul's. I just want to spend just 2 or 3 minutes just setting the stage, and then we'll get to what I believe God has for today. But it started in Acts 23:11, where God told Paul to be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And it was a simple promise that was spoken to a man that was in a jail cell. Surrounding him were Jews that were literally, the scripture before, they were trying to tear him piece by piece. And he is facing potential execution, and he's wasting away. And this promise was given to him. And unfortunately, from there, he spends 2 more years in prison not fulfilling the promise. 2 more years not preaching the gospel. And finally, the day comes for Paul to sail to Rome, and they enter out into the ship, and they go out into the sea, and immediately a tempest storm arises and knocks them well off course. And they spend 14 days battered, 14 days bruised. And the scripture that we read last week, it tells us that the storm was so bad that they couldn't tell if it was night or day. They couldn't see the sun nor the stars. They just knew that they were lost. They had given up eating. They had given up hope, a chance of rescue or survival. They just knew that they were in a storm and their life was over. That's when we got to the scripture as we came to a close last week in Acts 27, verse 22, and I'll read it just one more time. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. And this is where we stopped last week. And if you missed last Sunday or simply forgot, the sermon title last week was 4 words. And those 4 words were, meet me afterwards. I got gold stars for each and every one of you. Actually, not everybody, the first 5 people, gold stars. But that's what we spoke about. Be of good cheer. Paul tells him, be of good cheer, for I believe God and what he promised, that all of us would live. Now, I'd love to tell you that this story ended right there, that as soon as they said, oh, we're going to be saved, we will be of good cheer, we put a smile on our face, that the storm ceased, and they had smooth sailing like they were in the Caribbean to Rome. And I would love to say that it was smooth from there on out right after the promise. But the very next verse after Paul gives them that promise is Acts 27:26. And this is promising them that God has spoken, the angel of the Lord spoke, and not a life will be lost. We will be safe. We don't have anything to worry about. And then he follows it up with verse 26. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Or in the NLT it says, but we will be shipwrecked on an island. So he tells you, you're going to be safe. The angel of the Lord spoke to me, not a soul is going to perish. All 276 of us, no one is going to die. Also, we're going to be shipwrecked. Paul, if we're going to be saved, we wouldn't be shipwrecked, Paul. It's a storm. We're not going to be cast out into the sea. Our chance of survival, Paul, is not good. It's bad when we're in the ship in the storm. It's even worse when we're out floating in the water. And this doesn't really make sense, Paul. Why would we do this? But God, in his plan and in his wisdom, always knows exactly what he's doing. He always is prepared. He always is in control. And if you're shipwrecked, just believe that God knows that you're shipwrecked. And believe that God has a plan to get you to dry land. Too often we worry, does God know I'm in this storm? Is God aware of everything that's going on around me? Is God aware of how bad my life is? Is God aware? Yes. Yes. God is aware. Are you aware that God is with you in the storm? Are you aware that God sees you? Are you aware that God is walking with you? Are you aware that you are not alone? Too often we worry about, is God aware of something? God knows. God is aware. Are you aware? Do you know that he's with you? Do you know that he's in the storm? And if he's in the storm with you, then you are not alone and things have not gotten out of hand. He knows what he's doing. The text I read today, verse 30 and 31, it takes place directly after this promise. The shipmen, they're about to flee the ship. In verse 30 it says, and they were going to let the boat down to the sea, and they basically were putting out their lifeboat. The shipmen decided, we're going to fix this on our own. And they did it under color or under disguise, as if they would have cast anchors out. But Paul says to the centurion and the soldiers, he says, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Except they stay in the ship. That word abide is meno in Greek, and it means to stay, to remain, to dwell, to continue, to tarry, or to endure. And he's telling the soldiers. See, the people on the ship, there's shipmen who direct the ship, there's prisoners who are being transported to Rome, and there's soldiers. Paul is a prisoner, and Paul has no standing. He's just a prisoner. But these men are trying to flee, and he turns to the soldiers, and he says, if those guys get off the ship, you won't be saved. He's telling them, if they get off the ship, if they try and fix it, it's going to affect your well-being. You won't be saved if you let them get off the ship, because God gave a promise for everybody in the ship. And if they got off the ship, then they're messing with God's promise, so God won't save any of them. If they try to fix it on their own, God says, you cannot fix this storm on your own. We cannot jump out of the boat now. We can't try and fix it now. We want to fix it now when the storm is the worst. Now we abandon all hope that God is in control. So we say, God, it looks like I got to fix this one. Looks like I got to take care of this one. There's a life raft. I'm just going to push myself out. I'm going to be alone. Clearly everyone else is going to die. I'm going to do it on my own. But we must see the importance of sticking together in the church. We need each and every one of us in the church. We should be just like Paul and the centurions, that if one of us leaves, we realize that we cannot be saved. We need every single person on board in this church. Brother Tom spoke today about we are the church. We are the body of Christ. And it is important to me, if you are not here on a Sunday, not just because I'm your pastor, because I care about you as a fellow saint, because I care about you as a fellow church member, because I need you. I need you in this church. You need me, not because I'm your pastor, but because I'm your brother, because I'm here to pray with you, because I'm here to be with you and come along beside of you. The biggest lie in hell, Brother Tom mentioned it today, the biggest lie in hell is that you can do it on your own. The biggest lie in hell is that the church doesn't need you and you don't need the church. The biggest hell and lie is that you aren't important in the church. That is a lie from the pits of hell. You are important. You are necessary. You need to be here. We need you here. It doesn't matter if you may say, I'm too young. You may say, I'm too old. You may say, I don't have any abilities. I can't sing. I don't play an instrument. I can't cook. I can't do whatever. Whatever you've made up in your mind that your shortcoming is too much of a hindrance to be used by God, you are important and God has put you on this ship with us and you are necessary to move this kingdom of God forward. God has uniquely positioned you in 2019. He could have put you in 1515 where it didn't really matter what took place. It wasn't the end times. You know, it wasn't the revival. You are special. God did place you here. This is the fourth quarter. Things are wrapping up. I don't know when it'll happen, but it is going to happen. This world is going to wrap up, and God, His Word has told us He's sending a revival like we've never seen before, and if He's going to send the revival, He chose you to bring that revival in. So regardless if you think you have abilities, God thinks you have abilities. Regardless if you think you're important, God thinks you're important. We need each and every person. We need you. You are the body of Christ. So what, you can't sing? Worship the Lord with all your heart. You think God Almighty is sitting on His throne? I just believe that when you start to sing at full voice and worship God and it comes in off pitch and screechy and your voice cracks, God doesn't shudder. God says, oh, that's my child. That's my child, and they are worshiping me. They are doing the very thing I designed them to do, and that is worship the Creator. When you sing, sing with all your heart. See, we can't be limited by our own inabilities. God gave you those inabilities. They aren't inabilities to God. They aren't shortcomings to God. You may say, well, I can't even cook. We're having a lunch afterwards, and I would burn. What's something easy to cook? Rice? I don't know. I don't really cook either. We're in the same boat then. You burn water. Thanks, Sister D. I burn water. I helped out, right, Sister Rachel? I helped out with peanut brittle this past week. And nothing bad happened. I didn't help too much, but I was there. But you may say that I can't even cook. I can't even do that. But even the worst cook can scoop soup out of a bowl and put it in someone else's bowl. You can be used in the kingdom of God. We're not looking for prerequisites. You don't have to turn in a resume. You just have to be able and available and willing to be used by God, and you can be used here. We are the body of Christ, and we need every elbow, every pinky toe, every eyebrow, every armpit, every belly button. It's all important. We need even the appendix, even though sometimes it gets removed. We still want our appendix. We want our tonsils and our wisdom teeth. We want every part of the body of Christ. We need you here. So abide here. Dwell here. Abide in the thing that saves you. The church saves you. Abide in the church. The church isn't this beautiful building with these stained glass and these walls. This isn't the church. The church is you and me. And the church needs you and me to be together, to be moving forward for the kingdom of God. Revival will only come if we are together, abiding together in unity. We need each other. We need each other. Abide in this church. Dwell in this church. And Jesus tells us in the book of John who we are to abide in. He tells us in John 15:4. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Jesus tells us five times in that passage to abide in me. If Jesus is telling you to do something five times, you better listen. I don't think that John, when he wrote this book, said, what else did he say? I'll just put abide. I don't know. Abide. I will just put it. I believe John wrote the specific words of Jesus Christ to abide in me, to dwell in me, to continue in me, to tarry in me, to wait in me, to endure in me. And the scripture tells us that the branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it's connected to the vine. You may be the strongest branch. You may be a branch that if the storm comes and it knocks you down, you'll take out a whole house. But as soon as that magnificent branch is removed from the tree, that branch is dead. That branch is chopped up. It is now no longer a branch. It is firewood. So you may be the strongest branch, but you can't do it on your own. You got to be connected to the vine, and Jesus is that vine. You have to abide in that vine. And the scripture tells us that if you abide in him, you can ask whatever you want and it will be done, because God will answer the prayers of those that abide in him. He will hear the prayers of those that abide in him. But the scripture says, if you abideth not in me, he will not hear your prayers. If you're wondering why your prayers aren't being answered, maybe, you know, God knows what he's doing, but maybe you need to check yourself and realize, have I actually been abiding in Jesus? Do I continue in Jesus? Do I dwell in Jesus? We must abide in Jesus. God gave Paul a promise in that jail cell. He says, because you've abided in me, because you've done the work, because you've testified of me in Jerusalem, you will testify of me in Rome. If you abide in Christ and you complete the small things, Jerusalem was small potatoes compared to Rome. Rome was the epicenter of the world at that time. It was the big deal. It was giving God, they're spreading Jesus. They didn't even know who Jesus was. It was spreading Jesus to literally the world at that time. And God tells Paul, because you did the small things, because you are abiding with me, now I can give you big things. And if we will abide in Christ with the little things, God will give you, God will bless you, God will elevate you, God will put you in a position that he can use you to do big things. What we must abide in the ship. We must stay where Jesus has placed us. We must abide where he has placed us, and we must abide in Jesus. Jesus is that ship, and God has given us a promise, and only God will bring that promise to pass. Only God could get Paul through a jail cell, through a storm, through shipwreck, and to Rome to preach the gospel in Rome. And looking to finish the story, I want to finish Paul's journey in Acts 27, verse 40. They had taken up anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, they loosed the rudder bands, and hoised up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, the forepart stuck fast, and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. They are at a place where two seas meet. Their ship ran aground it and was stuck, and the back half of the ship was beat to shreds, is what Paul is saying, or is what Luke is saying in this text. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. They were going to kill every prisoner. They were going to kill Paul, lest any man should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. It comes to the very end of Paul's journey. It looks like everything is done. They're being cast out into the sea. They know that land is somewhere, but they aren't really sure where. But it's come time that they can no longer abide in the ship. It's clear. Paul told them earlier, stay in the ship and you will be saved. Well, now what are we going to do, Paul? The ship is being destroyed. How can we stay in the ship and be saved? And the soldiers, they're going to kill prisoners for fear of escape. But Paul convinces them, or the centurion convinces them, not to do that. So they tell those that can swim, go swim. Try and find land. Swim to safety. But those that are too tired, those that don't have the ability to swim, those that just don't have the energy and there's nothing left, those just hang on to a piece of the ship. Just grab just a piece. Just hang on for dear life. And those that were just too tired, they're hopeless in the raging sea. They're only hoping they can bump into land. They're just, I mean, if you've ever seen a Hollywood production of someone out lost in the sea, it's terrifying. It's so scary. I am not much of a swimmer. If you throw me in a 4-foot pool, I will be okay. If it's deeper than that, I want to find the edge very quickly. But they are cast into the sea, and all they have is a broken piece of the ship, just bobbing. Just, they don't know if it's daylight. They don't know if it's nighttime. It's a storm. I mean, it is the worst of the worst. They probably are imagining, if only I was still in jail. If only, it was better to be in jail. If only I was still in the ship. Yeah, I was getting seasick. Yeah, there was a storm all around me, but at least I was surrounded by 276 others. At least we weren't alone. But now I find myself just holding on to a broken piece of the ship, holding on to a promise. Because that ship was a promise. That ship was the thing. Paul said, abide in the ship, dwell in the ship, continue in the ship. And some of them only had a small piece of that promise left. There's only a little bit of that promise left. But when you come to the worst part of your storm, you hang on for dear life to the only thing that has ever provided you safety. The only thing that has ever been there for you when times were tough. The only thing that has ever kept you when no one else could keep you. That thing that you hold on to for dear life when you feel alone is Jesus. He's the only thing that you can hold on to. You hang on to Jesus Christ. He is the ship in the storm. He is the thing that has saved you. He is the thing that has kept you. If all you have left, if the only small piece, if this is the smallest piece you can get of Jesus, and if it's just, if you can only grab on to God's grace, if the only thing you can hold on to is the grace of God, well, then that's enough, because in 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He's telling them, be excited when you're hanging on to the smallest piece. Be happy. This is where you want to be. You want to be holding on for dear life if you're holding on to Jesus, because that's what's going to save you. Because when you are the weakest, that's when he is strong. The only thing that can hinder God's strength working in your life is your strength. Is you saying, I'll fix it on my own. I'll let down my life raft. I'd rather do it on my own than stick with you guys. I got to fix it because God clearly doesn't know what he's doing. But if you would get to a place where you'd say, God, I don't have a clue. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't tell day or night. But God, I am weak. That's when he steps in and says, my child, now I am strong. Now let me pick you up. Now let me be with you when you're floating, when there's no hope, when there's no plan, when there's no purpose. I will be with you. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. Just hold on to me. Hold on to the smallest piece. The smallest piece of God. If we could all stand as we close. God is telling us, be just like Paul. They're hanging on to the broken pieces. They're floating in brokenness. They're just hanging on to the pieces of a promise. And it's, but that piece, that small piece of Jesus, is enough to make you whole. Matthew 9, the story we all know well, verse 20. Behold, a woman which was diseased with the issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Somebody needs to get to a place like the woman with the issue of blood where you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you say, if I could just not even touch Jesus, but just touch a piece of his garment, I believe with everything in me, I shall be made whole. That was where her faith was. She didn't need a sermon. She didn't need God to put his hand on her. She didn't need God to speak the words. Her faith was so extreme that she said, if I may but touch a piece of him, I will be made whole. And to finish it, verse 22, Jesus turned him about. And when he saw her, when Jesus noticed her, when she got Jesus' attention, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. The very thing she said, if I may but touch, I will be whole. And he says, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And then beyond what he said, she was made whole. That very hour, she was made whole. You might be floating today. I don't know what you came in. I don't know if you're in prison right now, if you're in the ship right now, or if you feel like you're at the end. You feel like you're just floating out somewhere, and you might be floating on your own, but just hold on to a piece of God. Maybe you're unsure of church. You're unsure of religion. You're unsure of holiness. You're unsure of oneness. You're unsure of all of that. Maybe you're new to this today, but I plead with you today, don't worry about all those other things. Worry about just getting a piece of Jesus. If the only thing that you know, if you came into this place with the only thing that you know is the Bible, the children's Bible song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Sahara, if the only thing you know today, if the smallest thing you know is that Jesus loves me, then that's enough. Knowing that Jesus loves you is that's enough. Because when you know that Jesus loves you, when you hang on to his love, Paul tells us in Romans, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, shall famine, shall nakedness, shall peril, shall the sword? Who shall separate you for the love of Christ? And he follows it up in verse 38. He says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor powers, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What he's telling you, if you would just get a piece of his love, if you would just hold on to a piece of the promise, nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing can separate you from his grace. God wants you to just get a piece of him today. He wants you to abide with him today. Abide with that peace. If all you know is love, just let him wrap his arms of love around you. If all you know is grace, let him just offer you grace and forgiveness. Whatever you know, whatever you need him to be, he wants to be that today if you will abide in him. So as we close, I'm going to open up the altar for every single person in this place. And I'm going to invite you to come. Before we do that, I apologize. I want us to pray right where we're at. God, I pray, let's just take a moment. I want us to pray that God would speak to us, that he would encourage us to tarry and to dwell with him. Why don't we just pray just for a moment right where we're at. Mighty God. God, I believe that you are here. You've been here the entire service. I pray right now that the words that have come out of my mouth, God, as they leave my mouth, God, that you would take them and you would direct them. God, that they would work and they would minister as only you're able to do. God, speak into someone's life. I don't care if it was a word I said. I would rather it be a word you spoke into their heart. God, that you would encourage somebody in the darkest part of their storm. God, that you are with them. God, that you are going to abide with them if they will abide with you. I believe it in Jesus' name. 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 Jesus said in verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. He loves you more than you ever know. And so on behalf of that, I am asking you to come and abide with Jesus for a few moments today. I'm opening up the altars and inviting you to find a place to abide in Jesus. Find a place to tarry in Jesus. He's the thing that saves you. He's the thing that keeps you. Come on, somebody needs to just continue on. One more day in Jesus. Tarry one more day in Jesus. Endure one more day in Jesus. Come on, begin to pray right now. God, I believe that you're in this place. I believe that there's someone that's floating, that they feel like they're lost, that they've been abandoned. But God, I pray, Lord, as they outstretch their fingers, they would be able to reach the hem of your garment. God, that they would come with faith, believing that they will be made whole today. God, help them to continue today, to dwell today, to endure today. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. God, I pray. Come on, church, begin to call upon him. God, if your life depended upon it, God is here. If your marriage depended upon it, God is here. Abide in him. He said, if you abide in me, if you abide in me, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Whatever you ask of him today, once you abide, once you dwell, God will answer. God will be with you. God will offer the peace that you've been seeking. Come on, we heard about peace today. God, I pray you'd pour out peace. God, I pray right now, Lord, that peace that truly passeth all understanding would be felt in this place. God, let your love be felt here today. Let your grace be felt here today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, God, we want more. God, we want more. I pray right now. Oh, in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Just grab a piece of God. You don't have to have it all fixed by the time you leave here. But just abide in him. Abide with that peace. Abide with him today. God, I want you to dwell in me. God, I want you to walk with me. God, I want you to live in me. Oh, and I in you, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. God, we're going to continue to pray. We're not going to have any music right now. We're just praying. We don't need music to abide in Christ. We need God to do something. We need God to speak right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that you would work. God, I pray that you would do something in the supernatural right now. God, we're abiding. God, we're tarrying here. God, this is the place where you are. God, King of glory, come visit this place. God, we will sing hallelujah. God, we'll dance. God, we'll do whatever you need us to do. But God, I'm asking for a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Ghost. God, there are needs represented. Come on, church, let's turn this place into a prayer room. Well, we're not going to get a chance to pray tonight, but let's spend a few moments calling upon the Almighty God. He's doing something right now. If you don't have a need, partner with somebody. Connect with your brother. Connect with your sister. Now we're going to touch heaven right now. I'd have a boldness as you pray that if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. God is going to leave, or you're going to leave this place whole today in the Holy Ghost. God desires for you to be whole. God desires for you to be restored. God desires to fix what the enemy has taken, to restore the brokenness. I pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 God, we praise you. God, we praise you. God, we praise you. Jesus. Oh, Lord, you're doing something right now. God, you're moving in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Come on, we need some prayers right now. I know it's a Sunday service. I know that it's different, but we need somebody to touch the throne of heaven on someone's behalf. Come on, you may not have a need, but why don't you just pray to God that he would touch somebody else? If you don't have a need, pray for somebody else in the Holy Ghost. You may be the thing that breaks the yoke. You may be the thing that calls in the presence of the Almighty God to work and to touch. Come on, if it's not for you, pray for your children. If it's not for your children, pray for somebody else's child. Touch the throne of heaven right now on their behalf. We need prayers, God. We need prayers right now. We need those that are willing to push through some tough times. Push past what you're comfortable with. God, we need you to work. God, we need you to work. God, hallelujah. God, we're pushing. God, we're pushing. God, we're pushing. God, but I believe you want to do something right now. God, it's a Sunday afternoon. I know we have plans. I know we have stuff we need to get taken care of. But God, we have time for a move of the Holy Ghost. We have time for you to restore. We have time for you to touch, Jesus. Oh, God, move right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, do a work. Jesus, do a work. Oh God, I pray.